everybody, and welcome to the weekly Nintendo News Roundup Live, each and every Friday night. The online crew breaks down the week in Nintendo news. Hey, Eric, looks like you got a little bit of an upgrade over there.
I do, yeah. I got stuff. Been, you know, over the course of the past few years, I don't know if you know this, Seth, but the Nintendo Switch games haven't stopped coming out.
It's true.
So my collection has gotten to the point now where I really desperately, quite desperately, needed to get more places to put them. So I've leveled up my presentation here a little bit. Still got to make sure to find some room for my little friends down there, the Bard and Nirmala. But yeah, you can see a little bit more of my collection now.
Nice. Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I got the shelves going on, all fancy schmancy, looking like a real Nintendo content creator.
I got a new chair, yeah, too. New chair. Gamer chair, yeah. Yeah,
look at you go. Look at you go.
I know, right?
You're all professional. Well, Eric, it's a big week.
That's argumentative.
we got a big week in news to get to, Eric. So, yeah. So we actually have quite a lot to talk about tonight. But, of course, before we get into the news, we have one very important matter of business to attend to.
We absolutely do. The people who are the new shelves in our life.
sure, of course.
Sure, why not?
Our patrons, patreon.com/allinpodcast. Big thanks to all of our friends and supporters over there. We like to thank them here at the beginning of the show, starting with our Golden Banana Bunch. Thank you to Rob Yapel, Sean O'Baggins, Ashton, Tim A, aka Neo Prime 33, aka Nintendo Dad Number 4, Phelan Ward, Bill Tucker, Marcus O'Neill, Liam D, Gamer Jason, Andrew Wilkins, Alan, hashtag Look to the Cookie, Solo, SAZ, and Bob Blah Blah. Big thank you to our Golden Banana Bunch. Eric is tipping the cup for each one. I'm worried you're going to spill your coffee doing that so much.
I'm about to.
But, of course, moving into our Triforce tier. Thank you to Josh Vaughn, the godfather of Tingle Love Tuesday, John Datfast Cummins of the Retrologic Podcast, as well as the On Topic Retro Podcast, the Globetrotten Jet Set Nintendo Hub and Sparky of the Nintendo Hub over here on YouTube, Adam Caparello of the Retro Groove Podcast, Shy Guy, the other half of our Shy Guy Mod Squad, thank you Shy Guy, Daniel Hinojosa, Dan and Luma, Bowza, the Keeper of the Hugs, the Don Rob, Foolish Fuji, and the legend himself.
The person who I would display proudly upon my new shelves, Uncle Randy.
Uncle Randy. Big thanks to all of our friends and supporters on Patreon. We appreciate you. You can get a 7-day free trial to the Golden Bananas here and check out a ton of exclusive content that goes up there. Triforce tier patrons also get discounts on our merch, which you can find at allin.media. If you're watching us here on YouTube, it's below as well. So you can check that out too. And if you don't have any bones to throw our way, that's okay too. You can support the show by free, totally for free, by dropping some words on your podcast feed. If you listen to us on your audio feed, leave us a 5-star review. That is very appreciated. And if you watch us on YouTube, your likes, your subs, your comments, and all that stuff all helps tremendously and is very free. Cool, man.
It's free.
Should we get into it?
Can confirm. Yes, we absolutely should get into it. It's been a week. It's been a heck of a week. There's been so much stuff going on that, honestly, some of you may forget that some of the stuff actually happened just since last Friday.
Yeah, man. So let's get into it here.
Yes, sir.
I think we probably just need to start with the tweet, right?
Oh, my God. It's the Switch 2. Nintendo was officially confirmed. The Switch. Oh, my God. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, let me just calm down. I'm okay. I'll be fine. But yes, the day that we've been waiting literally years for has finally arrived this past weekend, or was it like Monday night?
Monday, like for us, it was Monday at like, yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Furukawa, you know that because he says it there.
He
in
announces
the tweet,
it.
This is Furukawa. And they specifically confirmed that they will be properly officially revealing their next hardware, not just a new version of the Nintendo Switch like the Switch Lite or the Switch OLED. They will actually be revealing their next generation hardware within this fiscal year. Now, for those who don't know, the fiscal year ends in March. This calendar year and this fiscal year are two different things, but regardless, this is going to be the final year that we don't actually know what Nintendo's next generation system is going to look like. And I mean, here we are almost a decade, my lord, nearly a decade, approaching a decade into the Switch's lifespan. We're in the eighth year of the Switch's lifespan at this point. So it was kind of time. Obviously, the speculation has been running rampant for years already, so much so that it's been having a fairly considerable effect on Nintendo's stock price for quite some time, which made me wonder whether or not that was part of the reason behind this tweet. Obviously, the actual reveal is still quite a ways off, but it makes me wonder if they were close enough to say, all right, stop with the rumors. Let's, you know, here's a single breadcrumb, which will turn into a monumental buffet later on down the line.
Yeah, I don't think it, I mean, personally, I don't know. I'm not, you know, I'm not a financial analyst or whatever. I don't necessarily.
You're not Furukawa.
No, I'm not. This is not Furukawa.
Neither am I.
Yeah.
This is not.
But you know, I don't know if it necessarily has anything to do. I mean, their stock price really hasn't fluctuated that much. If you look at their the way that it's been laid out really since the advent of the Switch, I don't think they've dipped below the double digits in share price. And I think they're right now at like 15 point something a share. So, I mean, they're, you know, they've been kind of between the 10 and 15 range for the entirety of the Switch life cycle, pretty much, with highs and lows, of course, like anything else. But it's interesting, man, because this thing has, obviously, everybody's been talking about it for a long, long time. And we've been, you know, kind of, there's been rampant rumors and speculation and stuff. I'm sure there's a part of Nintendo that wants to come, you know, on the other side of that. I think this is more so just to kind of, like, tell people, because, look, like, the Switch is getting long in the tooth. I think more than like response to like rumors or speculation, it's like, hey, don't worry. Like we do have something cooking, investors. Like there is something coming, and they also, and we'll get into numbers and stuff here in a second, but they have a fairly ambitious, goal for this next fiscal year in terms of the amounts of Nintendo Switches they expect to sell, even removed from whatever this next thing is. So I think they're just trying to like set some expectations with their investors of like, hey, you know, don't worry, we're still supporting the Nintendo Switch, but we also have stuff coming out. We also expect to sell this many Switches this year. So like, don't abandon ship, you know, we know what we're doing.
Yeah, and something that's gotten completely lost in this tweet for a lot of people is the fact that they did announce a Direct in June, which is going to be showing off the titles releasing in the back half of 2024, you know, because, of course, Nintendo was going to have games coming out in the second half of 2024. But I did wonder, because obviously this announcement came kind of in conjunction with the release of the 2023 fiscal year reports, which we'll get into here in a few seconds. But another thing I wondered is whether or not, you know, just to kind of keep people from maybe getting their sights set too high on the June showcase, because there hasn't been anything already announced for the back half of 2024. Mm-hmm. If they said, you know, it's like, you know what, it's close enough, we need to start really managing expectations with this show, so that people don't come into, like, we want people to be excited about the games, but we don't want the headline out of this amazing showcase we're going to have in June become still no Switch 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they know that their investors probably are saying the same things that the fans have been saying, which is, you know, the dialogue around Nintendo Switch this year has been, oh, it's a quiet year, you know, despite the fact that they've still maintained basically a monthly release cadence with first party titles. You know, like, oh, it's been a quiet year. We don't know anything beyond Luigi's Mansion 2. We had an announcement earlier this week that we'll get into that puts a game in July. But we still, you know, the rest of the year is a huge gray area, which is not necessarily common. Nintendo, in other words, has been a little bit quiet this year, and it's probably because we're gearing up for the next thing. And so, you know, they are kind of setting expectations here. I think it's pretty cool and a little uncommon for them to, like, come out and say, like, yeah, we knew we were probably going to get a Direct in June. Like, probably, yeah, of course. We
did. Yeah.
You know, we usually do. It's June, July timeframe, like every year. But it's kind of nice that they just came out and said it. And they said, like, hey, not only are we doing it, But this is what it's going to be about. And, you know, like, this may as well have been the exact same information they would give in a Nintendo Direct tweet, except for the runtime and, like, the time that it airs, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, hey, this is happening. It's going to be detailing Switch software for the latter half of 2024, and there will be no mention of the Nintendo Switch successor. I imagine that's going to be exactly what they say when they make the tweet about that.
Very likely. Very likely. I did see a few people talking on Twitter about the Nintendo Switch's successor, mm-hmm. which you know, we have no clue when it's actually going to release. Some people are trying to report on, you know, the Switch 2, the Switch's successor, actually releasing in this fiscal year. That's not what Nintendo said.
No, it isn't.
We don't know when the actual hardware is going to be released. However, I have seen a few people bring up the point of, you know, now that the conversation has officially started, how many people out there that still haven't pulled the trigger, you know, the three people out there who still haven't pulled the trigger on getting a Nintendo Switch, do they say to themselves, you know, considering they've already waited this long, do they say to themselves, I'm just going to hold off until the Switch's successor?
Yeah.
So talking about Nintendo's goals for Switch hardware sales over the next year, I don't know. I think they may be setting their sights a little bit too high, because at this point you are targeting very picky people, very, you know, choosy people who are probably thinking to themselves, well, I'm not about to pick up a system that's going to be rendered obsolete in just a few months. So that, I think that aspect is going to be very interesting coming into the back half of this year. And I do hope Nintendo, if they expect to sell as many systems as they're hoping for, maybe they know something about this June showcase. We don't, but if they want to sell that many systems, they need to have a big, or maybe even a couple big releases in the second half of 2024. Like maybe even a core Mario, maybe even, you know, another Zelda release.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to get into even just with that, because you know, the people who are aware of like this tweet are the people like us who have Switches already anyway, you know. So I don't think that they're going to before this holiday, I don't think mm-hmm. they're going to say anything else. Like I think
probably not. No.
I think they're going to sit on this until like we're pretty like close. I think the next time they talk about this will be when they're like ready to do a full announcement of it. Like early next year, if they follow the Switch One blueprint mid-January or something, you know, I could totally see them doing that.
Yeah.
And they did say like that 13.5 million, you know, it was interesting, cuz I actually initially assumed that the 13.5 million would include whatever this is. And I was like, okay, well, if that's the case, then it probably isn't actually as ambitious as I would think. But I agree with you. They did clarify it does not include the Switch successor, because they don't want to tip their hat at all as to when this thing's releasing. We just know that they're going to announce it between the June Direct and March 31st, 2025. It's just going to be announced and revealed at some point between then. And so it's a little bit interesting. I think there are going to be some lost sales. Nintendo knows that too. They also released like the full transcribed investors Q&A session where they said like, hey, yeah, like the Nintendo Switch's hardware sales have been slowed. And it's been tough to maintain momentum. Obviously, the thing's going on 9 years old, you know. So they're aware of that too. But it's interesting when I think of like, yeah, you're projecting 13.5 million, you either have to have a massive, you know, software lineup for the end of the year that you think is going to move systems that you haven't already moved, or, and this is what I think is more likely, or you have to have a significant price drop happening coming into the holiday, or attractive bundles or whatever. I think that's kind of what I expect. This whole time, the Switch has never had even one price drop. All these years, never an official price drop. So yeah. I kind of expect that going into the holiday, but we'll see.
I could see that. I mean, because Nintendo is very good at playing the long game. It wouldn't surprise me if before the Nintendo Switch successor even comes out, if the Nintendo Switch itself, especially for this holiday season, which is more than likely not going to include Nintendo's next hardware. If the Nintendo Switch's different models all experience a fairly sizable permanent price drop starting this October or November.
Yeah.
Now that's, I mean, considering that Nintendo is planning on selling the entire lifetime sales of their previous console in the ninth year of their current console, that says to me they've got some big plans, or the analysts and the projectors are just throwing out pipe dreams to the investors.
Yeah, maybe. That's dangerous too, though, and they know that. So it's interesting, man. It's gonna be interesting to see. They sold about 15 million units over the last fiscal year. So it's well,
Zelda.
Yeah. So like, I think you had some system sellers in there, but like, they, I think 13.5 is pretty ambitious. And but hey, they know stuff that we don't. So it's got to be either like exciting hardware bundles, a discount, or yeah, major software, you know, coming into the fall. So I'm going to be really, this June Direct is low key very exciting.
It is.
So
I agree.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on with that. But
that, or just a ton more remakes and more big marquee releases like Endless Ocean Luminous and you know, other indie games that have been releasing this, but so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
But yeah, just coming out of the Big N's office, first of all, yeah, Switch 2 is announced. Jeez, we've been waiting on that one for a while. I just want to take a moment to realize that OMG moment that we've been waiting for years finally happened. But there's been a lot more stuff that has happened over the course of the past week, and you, sir, are kind of our fiscal report subject matter expert. Well, so when it comes to like big numbers and you know, kind of big announcements coming out of the fiscal report for 2023, I think for most people it just boiled down to the fact that the Nintendo Switch has sold upwards of 141 million units at this point, which is just nonsense. As you just said, they sold 15 million units over the past year. And yes, now the Nintendo Switch has surpassed 140 million units sold. Just to put that in context, there's 300 million people in America. So that's one Nintendo Switch for basically every other human being in America. That is nonsense.
Big deal. Yeah, the official number, it's 141.32 million as the new Nintendo Switch hardware sales figure. For those who have been keeping score as we're kind of creeping up the, you know, climbing the ladder, trying to overtake and become the best-selling hardware of all time, DS is next at 154.02 million, and PS2 is around 155 million. So if they do hit their 13.5 million units, and I actually think that that's probably what they're basing it on, is like, hey, it'd be great to take over PS2.
It really, like, for the past few years, that's kind of what it felt like, hasn't it? Yeah. Nintendo Switch has sold so well that Nintendo can just really smell, like, if we just really get behind this thing and just keep pushing it for a few more years, we really can make the Nintendo Switch the best, the biggest home console, or the best console, period, of all time.
Yeah.
And I think that's been Nintendo's plan for a couple of years, because I mean, we've seen it with, I mean, it just brought up Zelda. They left Zelda in the oven for an extra year just for polish. That's the type of company that Nintendo is. I'm sure they were like, you know what? We've still got this awesome wave that we're coasting. Let's continue to polish. Let's continue to upgrade and find ways to make our next piece of hardware even more impressive. And let's just get behind the Switch fully and push this thing across the finish line. There's not a doubt in my mind that's been the plan for the past several years.
Well, and it's funny too, because now that I say that out loud and I look at it, that's exactly what this is. Because if they do manage to make their 13.5 million unit goal, that is almost to the decimal, like right there at 155 million. So, like, I think that's totally what they're projecting that number for. Not that, you know, they don't also have reasons to think they could achieve it. But yeah, that's definitely the goal. So who knows, the Switch, even before the successor comes out, you know, it may already overtake the PS2. We'll see.
That was my thought process, because yeah. Once I saw that 141 million, I was like, oh man, it's actually in striking distance.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty cool. So we got that going on. I mentioned earlier, but just to reiterate, that 13.5 million unit number does not include Switch 2, which, again, we don't know if it's actually going to release within the fiscal year or not. We just know it's going to be announced within the fiscal year, so we don't know anything other than that. In terms of some software sales, the two big first-party things in terms of updates here, Princess Peach Showtime and Mario vs. Donkey Kong each sold over 1 million copies. Princess Peach Showtime at 1.22 and Mario vs. Donkey Kong at 1.12. Pretty impressive. To be honest, I can't believe Mario vs. Donkey Kong cracked a million. I was pretty shocked by that. I like the game, but I was pretty shocked to see it do so well. I know Mario is, you know, the name recognition, the movie and blah, 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 but that's pretty darn good for that game.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's hard to sell a million units. There are a very select few games and franchises that can come out and expect to sell upwards of 3, 5, 10 million copies. I mean, Pokemon's one of them. Super Smash Brothers is one of them. But even for a massive company like Nintendo, a million copies dropped is nothing to laugh at.
No. Yeah. Especially just for, you know, their launch windows. I mean, these games came out in February, you know, and in fact, Peach was March, and this is only reporting through until the end of March 31st. So, I mean, this is pretty strong early numbers. By the they may, you know, go on to sell, or Peach anyway, in particular, might go on to sell even more between now and then. So, pretty cool.
Wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Peach came out in March, so that's a very small sample size for Peach's sales numbers regardless. So, I'm really glad that a brand new IP featuring a female lead from Nintendo can also sell a million as well. So I think that's a good sign for, you know, the next generation of games and consoles.
Yeah, agreed. Very cool. We did see, so hardware sales have been on a downward trend really since 2021. They are continuing to sell less and less. However, one thing I do find interesting is that as we kind of get into the kind of like tail end of what we now know as the Switch's life, Switch OLED sales actually have made up nearly half of Switch sales this past year. So people are starting to kind of, you know, like new Switch purchases are Switch OLEDs by and large. So,
well, it's, I'm sure at this point, many of the new Nintendo Switch sales are replacement consoles.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's people trading in or getting rid of their original Nintendo Switch and saying, well, if I'm going to get a new one, I might as well get this bigger, sexy, prettier one.
Yeah, it might also be a stock thing too. They might they might be more readily available than the regular Switch or Switch Lite.
I can see that.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And then the last little stat I have here is just their net profit. they set a new record this year with their net profit, 490.6 billion yen in net profit for this. It sets a new record for them. And there's a very, you know, kind of, you know, stat making the rounds where the amount of profit made in the Switch era, you know, basically through to like 2017, outweighs the amount of profit, even adjusting for inflation since like 1981 for Nintendo. So just to give you an idea, and that of course includes everything from the movie profits, the theme park and everything else. Nintendo, is making more money now than they ever have.
Yeah. So, well, the money in the theme parks, those were made possible because of the success of the Nintendo Switch in large part. So, but yeah, just the Nintendo's doing very well, ladies and gentlemen. I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're gonna be just fine. And we'll obviously looking forward to June Directs, and we're looking forward to all that stuff. I mean, look, man, it's already coming up on mid-May. So before you know it, we'll be here talking about a June Direct.
So, yeah. Yeah. Well, cool. Speaking of June, we do have a little piece of Nintendo news that also has to do with June, specifically June 10th. Starting June 10th, Nintendo is basically removing the Nintendo Switch functionality with Twitter/X. So that tweet also made the rounds this past week. Not necessarily a massive headline, but just kind of a quick little thing As of June 10, 2024, will no longer be possible to post screenshots and videos to X, formerly known as Twitter, from the Nintendo Switch's album or send friend requests to social media users via the friend suggestions feature. And honestly, more than anything, I think this is an indicator of the downward spiral that X itself is going through. I didn't even realize this. Apparently, Nintendo has been having to pay Elon Musk for this type of functionality on their platform.
Everyone does.
When honestly, it's Twitter who should be paying Nintendo to have functionality on their now 140 million platforms and homes all over the world. So it doesn't surprise me at all that Nintendo just looked at this and says, yeah, we really shouldn't be doing this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're really just following suit. So this is from I love this. This is from the community clarification on the tweet that X made. You know, they have a new X gaming tweet. That basically is like, you know, like we did change our API and everything, but we've been working, you know, with Nintendo. It was ultimately their decision to pull out and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, yeah, it's because X is charging companies upwards of $40,000 or more per month to access its API. Sony's PlayStation and Microsoft's Xbox already removed integration with X last year. So Nintendo is just, you know, another in the line of people saying nope. And I don't blame them.
Yeah. I don't blame them either. But yeah, if you guys were a fan of taking pictures on your Nintendo Switch and posting them directly to your Twitter account from your handheld hybrid, that functionality is going away starting June 10th. I mean, honestly, for me, I always did the AR code thing.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
Me too.
I just always found that easier.
I agree. And I want to say too, there's a really, really, really great app that I've talked about on our shows before, but I'll take any opportunity to plug them. It's called Switch Buddy. Switch Buddy is a great, great app that just simplifies the entire process. It just, you can take a picture, you use the QR code and whatever, and just puts it straight on your phone. It just downloads it immediately. It's very clean, very simple, and it's free too. There's like a premium version of it, but it's free. I paid for the premium version just so that I could like support the developer, because I just think it's a great, great app. But so anyway, if you're the type of person that likes to post a lot of pictures and videos, get Switch Buddy, and it just makes the whole process very easy. And I like what they do a lot. So who needs Twitter, man?
I've been posting so many pictures since Endless Ocean came out a couple of weeks ago, but, not a big story, but, really indicative of, I think, the state of social media platforms these days more than anything else. But I think it's time to more interesting news. Nintendo has made several big announcements this week. First of all, they mentioned the Switch 2. Second of all, they talked about the removal of their integration with Twitter. And third of all, the the burb was right. Nintendo has brought back officially the Nintendo World Championships. Kinda.
Yeah.
So Nintendo officially released this 3-minute long trailer / long form TV ad, bringing back a ton of former Nintendo World Champion.
This was cute.
Competitors. It was, but I have a couple comments about this in a few minutes.
Okay.
But they brought back a ton of former Nintendo World Champion competitors, essentially to help them announce this brand new Nintendo World Championship NES game that's releasing in July. Now, it's not NES Remix or a remake of that, you know, beloved little twosome game, but yeah, there you go. Nintendo World Championships NES Edition, which is a collection essentially of incredibly short form challenges featuring 13 NES games. And when I say short form challenges, I mean these challenges will probably only take you between like 3 and 30 seconds.
Right.
In general, these are very, very short form, essentially speed run challenges, meant to really kind of tap into those people that are point chasers, that are speed runners, and that would like to approach some of these NES classics from a slightly different perspective.
Yeah. And you know, this is the kind of thing that should appeal to me. This is the kind of thing that I should like. I like stuff like that. I like leaderboards. I like, you know, speedrun stuff. I like doing stuff like that. This really does nothing for me, to be honest.
Yeah, I wondered if maybe I was the only one. I wondered why, and I think it's just because, like, there's, like, that's really the only gimmick to it, is it's taking content that we are already decades long familiar with and just chopping it up a little bit. The thing that made the NES Remix games so interesting is the way that the different NES games kind of melded together. We talked about this in last week's episode, but, you know, the way that you would be playing a Mario game, but you'd be playing with Link or with Pit or something, and the way that they mixed the two games together made for some really, really interesting mashups. However, these are just the games in, you know, bite-sized form. You can just, these are games that all of which you can play on Nintendo Switch NSO. These are just vertical slices, admittedly many vertical slices, but there's nothing new in terms of the content. There's nothing new. It's just the content that we all know and have loved for decades. And Nintendo says, hey, play this 2 second part of the game as fast as you can. It doesn't really do anything for me either. And the comment that I was going to bring up in regards to all of the returning Nintendo World Championship competitors, that and this physical edition that we'll touch on again here in just a second, that all just felt to me like a big smoke and mirrors. Like, we have got to build, we've got to do everything we can to build this thing up, to hype this thing up arbitrarily and artificially, because the way that Nintendo is presenting it really makes me think that Nintendo themselves didn't have a lot of faith in the game itself. So they're doing everything they can to sell it. And that includes that physical edition that we just saw.
I think they, I think they're leaning into the nostalgia of it. I think that they are, they're like, yeah, hey man, nostalgia sells. There are going to be people who are into this. We should also say the standard digital edition of it is only $30. Yeah. So it's a pretty low ask, but to be honest, for me, when I looked at this, I was like, why is this not just a free NSO game? Like, this is no more content rich than F-Zero 99, for example. You know, this to me, like, if this was a free NSO game, I think I'd be genuinely, like, pretty stoked about it. But, you know, it's like a thing. They're trying to make it a thing anyway. And this is like, I look at this and I'm like, this is just, you know, just classic end of life, final year kind of, you know, video game release from Nintendo.
Yeah. Be quiet, Seth. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't impulse buy the collector's edition of NES, of Nintendo World Champ.
Well, that doesn't shock me.
No, I didn't. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do that.
That doesn't shock me one bit. So the
okay, so maybe I did. The collector's edition is admittedly kind of cool. The physical, well, I think it is. The physical collector's edition for Nintendo World Championship NES edition does come, of course, with a physical game card. It comes with cards for the 13 NES games in question that are featured within Nintendo World Championships NES Edition. It comes with a couple, 5 nifty little pins, and it does come with a very retro style, very classic style, golden NES throwback cartridge, which I know won't have a chip in it or anything, but yeah, this is definitely appealing to the nostalgia, to the old man brain that I have. And once again, I absolutely didn't impulse pre-order it this week.
That's what they're banking on, you know.
Absolutely.
Is just, hey,
it worked.
This is a nostalgic thing, so let's just, you know, bank on that, and that'll do just, I mean, it's going to do just fine for them. And, you know, I'll probably pick it up just to mess with it. $30 is like right, it's like just low enough. It should not be a penny more. It's just low enough to where I'm like, you know what? I think I'll go in and futz around with it and see what's up. Because maybe there's more to it than meets the eye. Admittedly, I do like, and they show it off kind of briefly in the trailer when all the other... I did think it was just really cute to get all those people back together.
Yeah, it's a good gimmick.
And they have them all playing this like new party mode, which is kind of cool. I kind of like that. I like that, you know, some of the stuff that we... have become kind of accustomed to. A lot of speedrunners will often display like their controller so that you could see like
the inputs and
stuff. So that functionality being on there is pretty cool. I'm assuming, I don't know, that I don't believe they've officially confirmed this one way or another, but I'm assuming you can watch other players like footage and ghosts and stuff, so you can actually see their input. That is the only reason I think that functionality would really need to be in there at all. So that's kind of neat. And I don't know. It is what it is. It's not like I'm not excited about it. I would have there have been a lot of people who I've seen online who are like, this is basically NES Remix 3. I'm like, no, it's really not.
No, it's not.
But I don't know.
If they had just added a few things like that to the end of it, it was like play through these 150 challenges. And, you know, once you finish all the challenges for one of the 13 games or something, you unlock a few dream challenges. You know how they have the Mario and Sonic Olympic games where you've got the normal style games, but you can unlock the dream events, the much more arcade style, completely over the top versions of those events or in NES Remix, where you can get those events and those challenges that do just completely mash up multiple NES games together. If they'd added a few things like that in as carrots on a stick for us to play through these, I think this would have been a much easier ask, and I don't think it would have required a ton of extra content to do that. Regardless, speedrunning has become a ridiculously popular aspect of gaming culture, and it is admittedly nice to see Nintendo really going after that audience, really, you know, tapping in to that aspect of gaming.
Yeah, although I will say too, like, because we're just getting like very, very short snippets of these games, this is just going to be like 150 or whatever micro challenges that just come down to optimizations of a fraction of a second, you know? And that's what speedrunning ultimately is anyway, but you typically have to like learn a game or learn like a big section of a game. These are just really tiny little things, so it's just going to be people agonizing over what is possible. Just like what is possible within that space, and there are going to be people at the top, and you're like, there is a ceiling to that, you know? So I don't know. There's a part of me that kind of hopes that they... And I almost wish that they had said this, just like, hey, actually, we are planning on continuing to support this. It'd be kind of neat if this became like a little bit of a platform where, you know, in a month, 2 months or whatever, they drop 50 more challenges or, you know, whatever. That'd be kind of neat. But
hey, we dropped some Star Tropics challenges, everybody. Hey.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, just stuff like that. Where
I can see that.
And I understand, too, that the 13 games that are here are like the games that were actually part of Nintendo World Championship. So I understand that. I do kind of wish that they had like integrated more games into it for a little more variety, but still.
Yeah. And that's ultimately for me what I think my biggest disappointment is in terms of the content itself.
Yeah.
It's all 100% content that already exists, and not only content that already exists, but content that you can play for free as long as you have a Nintendo Switch Online subscription. And then they're asking $30 for this. But I don't know. It'll come out. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure our amazing all-in co-hosts, Matt and Seth, are going to be trading world records in the Discord come July 19th. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Like I said, $30 it's pretty low asking price. I'll check it out. July 18th, that is the date. You can pre-order it now for the digital version. And yeah, the physical is in pretty short supply. People are already kind of throwing it up on eBay and whatnot. So
you can pre-order it now. There's open pre-order on Best Buy right now. You don't need to pay scalper prices. So, and quit accusing me of impulse buying that, Seth. I didn't, I promise. Evening, Bowser. How you doing?
Hey, Bowser. Bowser's here in the chat. Good to see you, my friend. Okay. Well, speaking of merch and goodies, they actually announced this. This is only for Japan right now, but there's some pretty exciting Tears of the Kingdom related merchandise coming out in celebration of the game's 1 year anniversary. As we sit here tonight, we're just 2 days away from the 1 year anniversary of Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh man, it really is, isn't it? Good lord, that game's been out for a year already. That is nuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been looking at this Masterworks thing over the course of the past 24 hours. And yeah, it looks pretty nifty. I don't know if it's going to be something I'm going to be picking up at this exact moment in time, but I mean, when it comes to these, like the Zelda soundtracks and these Zelda art books and, you know, all of this stuff, it's stunning. All of it. They are worth owning.
Oh yeah. I love Nintendo art books. I have a lot of them. I have Mario art books, Splatoon art books. I have, I have all of the Zelda books they've released so far. I have them all. And if
you
they
got
localize
all the Splatoon ones, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. And if they localize this, I'll get it too. Cause I just love, I mean, they've shown a few pages, of artwork from it, and it's just breathtaking art. It's gorgeous stuff. I even love just little stuff like this, like seeing little like potential hairstyles for Zelda, you know,
Zelda was almost a Karen.
I love this stuff. Like, and they always have like little, you know, transcribed, you know, notes from and commentary from the developers. I love all of this. I love the concept art. I love the drawing. So, yeah, if they do localize this, I'll be all over it. We don't know if they are localizing it yet, but it's coming August 30th in Japan at least. So we have that coming. That's not it though. We also have this Master Sword replica coming in November. It's $200 coming in November. This kind of prop replica Master Sword, which is pretty cool. It comes with I don't know if they show it in these photos here. Oh yeah, here it is. It comes with a display stand for both like the sheath of the sword and the sword itself as well. So pretty cool.
I hope it shoots a sword beam if you're at full health.
They say that it features memorable music and sound effects from The Legend of Zelda. So,
oh no.
It'll set you back $200, but it does look kind of cool. I'm not going to lie.
Oh no, it's a high-end Zelda lightsaber.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, yeah, you kind of alluded to this earlier, but we also have got the soundtrack collection coming for this thing. This is a 9-disc, I believe, 344-track collection. That is coming.
I don't think I've listened to that many songs in my life.
Yeah. This is coming July 31st. And, it's got just, you know, again, 9 discs, all of the music from the game. It's got this beautiful, you know, box set to it. It's got this little like stone, you know, Master Sword, maquette sort of thing here. And, yeah, looks pretty cool. They're celebrating the 1-year anniversary in style.
Yeah, it actually comes with a human Princess Zelda as well if you buy it.
Yeah, it comes. And you know, they've done stuff like this for Breath of the Wild as well. In fact, in celebration of Breath of the Wild's first anniversary, they did something quite similar. So it's nice to see Tears of the Kingdom getting this treatment. And I'm pretty confident that all of this stuff will be localized as well. I imagine it's just a matter of time. But yeah, pretty cool.
Well, I mean, when it comes to these massive adventure games, especially like The Legend of Zelda, the amount of stuff, the amount of assets and songs and art and things that you have to create for these games, I mean, as we've just seen, they can very easily fill their entire, you know, an entire discography for many other artists and an entire, you know, encyclopedia of artwork for many other artists. So it doesn't surprise me that they say it's like, hey, we've got all of these amazing assets that we've put into this one form, i.e. the video game itself. However, these are all very easily digestible within another form, i.e. CDs, art books, etc. So yeah, when you have a game like that, it makes just way too much sense. Why not take all the stuff that you've already created? And I mean, it's part of a beloved franchise anyway. Nintendo would be leaving money on the table if they didn't do this. People would have absolutely been screaming. Zelda super fans would have been screaming from the mountaintops. It's like, let me own the art in this game. Let me own the CDs in this game. Well, now you can. It's probably going to be pretty expensive, even when it gets localized. I imagine when, not if. This is absolutely coming to the West. No official word yet. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it probably will. It'll probably take some time. We there's typically a bit of a lag time for this stuff. But yeah, I think it'll come over here. So very cool. Well, Eric, I know this next story you're really excited about.
I am. Our friends over at the World Video Game Hall of Fame and the Strong Museum of Play up in New York did, of course, announce the 2024 class of the World Video Game Hall of Fame. Read Andrew Borman's tweets. Apparently, they did it in live. Like, they actually held a proper ceremony at the museum for the first time in several years to do it. So that was really cool. If I have the opportunity to go to one of those some year, I will absolutely do it. But enough waffling. The 2024 World Video Game Hall of Fame class is Asteroids, Ultima, Myst, Resident Evil, and Sim City. I will say, while none of those games may be immediately recognizable with Nintendo platforms, I will say four of those games have actually released on Nintendo platforms over the years. Atari has released a ton of times as part of various Atari, or Asteroids has released a ton in various Atari collections. Obviously, Resident Evil. We got that Resident Evil, that amazing Resident Evil remake on GameCube. That's the first thing that pops into my mind. A lot of people may not realize Myst is actually playable on the Nintendo Switch.
It is, yeah.
Myst is playable on the Nintendo Switch. And of course, SimCity, for me, I always think back to the Super Nintendo. I love that version of SimCity. But Ultima, the only version of Ultima that I believe we've ever seen on a Nintendo platform is Ultima Exodus.
Okay.
But regardless, four of the five inductees into the World Video Game Hall of Fame 2024 do have at least ties to Nintendo, and congratulations to all the nominees. In my opinion, all well-deserved.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job over there with nominating the right things and putting the right things up. It's always like, you know, whatever does end up getting inducted, I'm not going to be mad, you know? I don't really have any like personal attachment to any of these games or franchises, so I don't have a ton of skin in the game personally, but still cool. Well deserved. I agree.
Absolutely well deserved. And I wonder if right now they put in Resident Evil just as kind of a placeholder, because I don't think RE4 is in the World Video Game Hall of Fame. I may be mistaken, but I don't think it is.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I wonder if that's just kind of a placeholder for the Resident Evil franchise. So they can leave RE4 out for a while and maybe induct Metroid finally on its 19th try or something.
Yeah. 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 You might be right. We'll see what happens. But yeah, always cool to you know, keep up with them and what they're doing. Yep. I will say too, we didn't want to, just in case anybody was wondering if we were going to talk about the Microsoft layoffs, we specifically did not want to stop and talk about that. Not because we, you know, are not passionate about that topic or that we don't think that it's something that should be talked about, but because we didn't want to take away the focus from what's really important with that story and try to relate it to Nintendo and work it into our news roundup. But of course, we are aware of that whole situation and we both think it's terrible.
I actually got pretty heated this past week and I don't want to.
Yeah, yeah, of course. It's awful. AAA games industry is imploding around us, and it's all going to burn and die. But I just wanted people to know why we weren't talking about it. Okay, quick PSA, Eric. Endless Ocean Luminous's first event dive is taking place this weekend, in addition to an Endless Ocean-themed Tetris 99 Maximus Cup. I know you've already dove in to this event.
I have indeed. Yes, indeed. I actually completed one of the event dives a little earlier on today. I will say the event dives are very, very quick. In many of the dives, the online dives, you have quite a bit of time to run around, find treasure and interact with players, scan species and all that type of stuff. It seems, again, this is only after a single dive, but it seems like the event dives are very quick endeavors. You're supposed to get in, find the unidentified marine life, as they're called in the game, find the various species throughout the map that are special in some way. That's all I'll leave it at. But they're actually kind of like a challenge mode a little bit. However, you can find species that are not typically available in the versions of the maps as they appear in the main game. So I'll definitely be jumping in and running a few more of those challenge maps and jumping more into the event dive this weekend. I think it's called Song of the Sea Dragons or something.
Right. Yeah. You can do that online, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It has to be online.
Yeah. Oh, it does. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, gotcha. The event dive is an online dive. It is not a solo dive. It is an online dive.
Gotcha. Okay. Good to know that. I haven't had enough time to do online yet. I'm hoping to get into that early next week, but hopefully we can get some stuff together for that. So
absolutely.
That'll be
Let's
cool.
do it. But yeah, in addition to that Endless Ocean dive, if you are still playing Tetris 99, there, I think it's actually the 40th Maximus Cup.
Oh, wow.
In Tetris 99. And that is for Endless Ocean Luminous, both going on this weekend.
Very nice. Well, let's get into some notable releases before we say goodnight, shall we?
I wholeheartedly agree with that. Not necessarily a ton, however, some absolutely very notable releases that have come out over the past couple days. Very quickly, we announced last week that the deluxe version of the Pac-Man Chomp Champs game came out.
Right.
The normal version of that, the non-deluxe version, that is now widely available for $19.99 for anybody who wants to check that out, for anybody who didn't get the deluxe edition.
Yeah,
that's out. But in addition to that, especially just as we're recording this, dude, yesterday was a massive day for indie games. First and foremost, well, I don't know, first and foremost, but first up at least is this adorable little cat based game behind me, Little Kitty Big City, that we saw a few weeks ago in the Indie World Showcase. And here it is, finally available on your Nintendo Switch right meow. Our friend Lockleth was actually doing a stream of it last night, and I jumped in for a few minutes. I didn't want to stay too long because I'm going to play it myself. I didn't want to have too much of it spoiled for me, but I did actually see her find the strawberry hat, and I've never heard Lockleth squee before, but it was adorable.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it too. I've picked it up as well. I'm going to put a video up on the YouTube channel pretty soon for it. So look forward to that. This one's been on our radar for a bit. Looking forward to having some fun with this one very, very soon. Very adorable, very mischievous little kitty in a big city. So
yeah. And I can't say Lockleth did specifically say, these are her words. These are her words. I didn't ask this. She specifically compared it to the exact two games that I compared it to when we saw it at the Indie World Showcase. She says, this is giving me super Untitled Goose game vibes and yeah. super Stray vibes. So
mm-hmm. yeah,
nice to know that that's what the game ultimately is.
Yeah. I mean that, you know, it kind of seemed like that's what they were going for with yeah. that one. Here's a game that that I'm really interested in playing. I don't know when I'll get to it, but there's a game called that also came out kind of in that same time frame, 1000X Resist.
Yes.
Which has been getting a lot of buzz. Was told this about this game initially actually by Greg Lobanov when we yeah. talked to him episode 200. He loves this game. Like he said, this is one of the strongest like narrative games he's ever played. So I really want to check it out.
You know, we've seen it at a few different events. We've seen it at a few different showcases and directs, and I've watched trailers for it. Honestly, I'm still trying to wrap my head around what the game is supposed to be, because the trailers don't really do a good job of conveying that. It all seems like just a bunch of random disparate shots of the character running through various environments and then just weird random shit, just kind of a fever dream of trailers that leave you with more questions than answers. But I mean, it still looks cool, and I mean, we certainly respect Greg Lobanov's opinion. So
yeah, I think this is essentially like a third person walking sim, I think is essentially what this is, where it looks like you're just kind of walking through a bunch of environments, talking to characters, seeing cutscenes and stuff, and really just kind of engaging with the world and the story. And I just love the look of the game, and yeah. I think it looks really cool. This is published by Fellow Traveler, and that's kind of just Fellow Traveler's entire thing. Is these kind of like narrative heavy experiences. They're known for stuff like Citizen Sleeper. You know, this is well within their wheelhouse. So,
yeah, I don't know, like the sci-fi anime vibes, vibes I was getting. I was wondering if it was going to be something like Stellar Blade, a really combat focused 3D action adventure or something.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think there's like, any combat.
I was trying to see, is that gameplay? She's just walking. Is there any other gameplay? Is there any? So I don't know. But it's it looks cool. I'll give it that. It certainly does look cool. And that also released this past week, as a matter of fact, just like Little Kitty Big City, that also released just yesterday. And to kind of complete the May 9th, 2024 trifecta, a lovely little Metroidvania that we've also had our eye on for a while. Also itself did indeed release just yesterday. And man, has this game been generating a lot of buzz. It's been reviewing phenomenally already. I think it's got a Metacritic score of 91 or 92 still. And this is, of course, Animal Well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks cool. I've been excited for this for a while. Although I will say, reading the reviews actually unsold me on a day one purchase on it. Not because I think the game is going to be bad, far from it. I think it's going to be very cool. I just don't think I'm in the headspace for what this is. I thought that this game was going to be like a little bit more straightforward than apparently it is. People are saying this is a game about like the secrets, the mysteries and stuff. This is like a Fez-like experience. And I like Fez, but I don't think I'm in the headspace for like an obtuse sort of like mystery based, you know, sort of thing. There are people who are talking about, you know, you can roll credits on the game in 5 hours, but it'll take you like 50 hours to, you know, to see everything. And, you know, I'm just kind of like, I don't know if I'm like in the right place for that right now, but it does look cool. I will say, stay tuned here on the YouTube channel. Matt is making his debut on the YouTube channel, with a video that he recorded actually with his wife. So yeah, look forward to that. That should be hitting the YouTube channel really soon. And he's impressed with it so far too. So I'm sure I'll play it eventually. I just don't know if I'm in the right headspace right now for it.
Fair enough. I mean, the one thing that's always gotten me about this game whenever we've seen trailers is just like the visual style and the lighting, just the lighting in this game is just stunning. Absolutely stunning. Very unique. It's very hard to make a unique looking game at this point in the industry, but this one very clearly has its own visual flair.
Yeah. What I think I might actually do, LRG is doing a physical for this at the end of the month. And this seems like the kind of game I actually would like to have physically. And so I may just order it physically. And then whenever that comes in, I'll be like mentally ready to play it. Yeah. So I think that
I know you don't buy a lot of games physically.
No, I don't.
I don't either.
Yeah. I try to be pretty choosy with my physical purchases, but this seems, by all accounts, this seems pretty special. And so I might go ahead and just pay the extra like $10 difference between the physical and digital version of this game and just kind of wait. And by the time it comes out, maybe I'll be kind of ready to play it. So,
yep. But in terms of the Nintendo Switch, yeah, those three big games released just yesterday. There was, very quickly, Bowser in the chat says, more Vampire Survivors.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. The Contra update for Vampire Survivors also did indeed release this week. As announced, you can play as, I think, 11 new characters and new missions, new weapons, a ton of new stuff inspired by Contra Operation Galuga. So that is available also for all of you Vampire Survivors nuts, myself very much included in that statement. And I also want to make sure to mention that I saw this on Twitter, a surprise free content update just released for Island Song. So
yeah,
if you're a fan of that game or if you've never played it before, that just got a shadow dropped free content update earlier today as we're recording this.
Very cool. Yeah, last thing I want to shout out, I want to make sure y'all know about this, Corpo Nation, the sorting process from Platonic Friends, who did send us a code for this to make a video here on the YouTube channel, which is what I have up here right now. This is my gameplay. I want to make sure people know about this because, you know, I came into this game pretty blind, and I'm not going to say too much about it because I want you to go into it blind too, but it is very, very cool. And it is pretty much a perfect cross-section of, like, two games that I really love, and that is Hypnospace Outlaw and Papers, Please, is kind of what this game is. It's got a lot to say about, like, sort of, like, you know, corporate capitalism and stuff like this, and there's a lot going on there, but it has a very cool sense of world-building through like fake computer, online internet, you know, stuff like this. In addition to this kind of like brainless, like sorting gameplay that they're doing. That's kind of your daily like task. You go back to like your apartment at the end of the day and you have access to like your computer and all the other stuff takes place there. So again, I don't want to show you too much. You can check out the video if you want to, but I would recommend going in pretty blind because that's what I did. And I came away quite impressed. I'm looking forward to playing more.
Nice. God, so many indie games coming out. And yeah, I'm glad that we got to feature that game. I saw it. I didn't know what to really make of it. That's one of those games that it doesn't really trailer well because it's hard to get a sense of really what it is when you right. see it just in gameplay like that. Because just in the few snippets you were showing, I was like, I have no clue what you were doing in those. Yeah. I'm sure you knew what you were doing, but just watching that little gameplay clip, I had no clue what was going on. But you like it, huh?
I think it's really cool. You know, again, it's not going to be for everybody, but if you like Papers, Please, if you like Hypnospace Outlaw, like that sort of thing, I think you'll find something to like in there. Again, you can check out my video if you want to. It's live on the YouTube channel if you want to see what it's like in motion. So
nice. Well, if you want to check that out, go ahead and check that out. If you want to check out any of the games that released this week, make sure to let us know. Make sure to let us know what you guys are playing this Mother's Day weekend. Are you going to be dropping into the big city and playing as a little kitty? We'd love to hear about it. Let us know. Reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Podcast. Make sure to jump into our Discord. We would love to have you up in the Discord, especially if you want to join us for some Endless Ocean Luminous event dives, which I'm sure our Discord is going to be jumping into over the next few days. Go ahead and join our Discord. We've had a few new members added to the Discord over the past couple days. That ferret fart was I love that screen name. But in addition to all of that, make sure to check out the videos. Seth's brand new video for the game that we just featured and the new Animal Well first look coming soon from, again, our amazing friend Matt making his all-in YouTube debut. So be on the lookout for that. A ton of content going up all the time. But in addition to the podcast and the videos and all of that stuff, Seth, we somehow find time to create exclusive content for our patrons.
Yep. Patreon.com/allinpodcast. Links in the video and podcast description for that. Check it out. We've got you can get a 7-day free trial to the Golden Banana tier. We do put up exclusive content there every single week. Tons of perks and things to check out over there. If you want to throw some bones our way, another great way to do it is picking up some merch at allin.media. Links to that are below as well. You can get, Eric's holding up his fancy polo tee. Brand new, refreshed merch store. A ton of stuff you can pick up over there. But again, a great way to support the show entirely for free is to drop words, leave reviews on your podcast feed. If you listen to us there, the 5-star reviews, they really do help a lot. And if you're watching on YouTube, again, your likes, your subs, your comments all helps, and that's just a free way to support what we do here, and we really appreciate it.
We do. We absolutely very much appreciate it. I know we do the sad read in every episode, but honestly, no kidding, for realsies, for everybody who has picked up a piece of our merch at All In Media, for everybody, All In dot media rather, for everybody who has dropped words on whatever podcast service you happen to follow us on, to all of those amazing patrons that we shouted out at the top of the show, and to anybody who has even just shared our content across the internet, to each and every one of you, we would like to extend a Mother's Day namaste.
Namaste, everybody. That's been the news roundup. Thanks for hanging out, folks. Thanks for hanging out, Bowser. Good to see you in the chat. So tomorrow, on tomorrow's episode of All In, we are doing a bunch of like family-oriented segments, which is really fun. We're doing the top 5 cats in Nintendo history to go alongside Little Kitty Big City. We're doing an indie showcase on Open Roads to celebrate Mother's Day. It's a very like mother-daughter story. A really cool indie showcase discussion that Eric and I had for that one. And we're doing a Oh, hey, Star Athena. I see you there in the chat. Good to see you, my friend. You're always welcome to lurk. And we're doing a Boomerang review to celebrate the 5th anniversary of Detective Pikachu. We got to be the only Nintendo podcast reviewing Detective Pikachu, the hit movie Detective Pikachu from 2019.
I think we're the only Nintendo content creation platform that even acknowledges the 5th anniversary of this movie. So,
yeah, it's fun. It was fun
out
to
there
go back
paving
to.
The way. Absolutely. Yeah. It was fun to go back to. And make sure to listen to the full episode of All In, a Nintendo podcast dropping in your feeds tomorrow.
Yeah, well done. So yeah, that hits tomorrow. We'll see you then. And we'll be back here next week. We'll talk to you all soon. Have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day. Bye-bye.